Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
This is actually a really unbelievable day. I'm so humbled to be here, to be surrounded by some of the greats that ever played this game. I mean, guys you see on TV, guys you read about and all that, and I'm standing up here and kind of sitting in the background just watching and just trying to figure out what's really going on.
Oh, this is great. I think we could make a habit out of this every 2 years. Let's just keep going. But I'm excited for Jeff. You know, like many of us, we think, you know, my word is finally. But nonetheless, I'm glad that he's inducted, and this is his proper place.
There you have it. Just one of the excerpts from Jeff Bagwell's speech, followed by our next guest, Phil Garner. As he was there live and in living color in Cooperstown for the big day. And we talked about it a little bit briefly, but I watched the speech. And the one thing that I thought was just fantastic from a guy that really keeps to himself a lot of times was just how open Baggy was. I knew at some point he was going to mention Caminiti, Daryl Kyle, but he did a great job of going right up and down the list to point out everybody from his coaches to his, you know, ex-teammates, to the general managers and the managers. I thought it was fantastic, and I thought his love for Craig Biggio, of course, really showed at the end as well.
Well, he did it. He, you know, in our baseball vernacular, he knocked it out of the ballpark, and I was, you never know how these guys are going to do this. You never worry about guys like Jeff Bagwell when you pencil their name in the lineup, because that's what they do. They put a bat in their hands, and they go out, and they do damage. They take a glove, and they play beautifully. But when you ask them to speak, a lot of times that's not their forte. That's not what they enjoy doing most. But I thought Jeff spoke from the heart. He certainly said all the things that make you laugh, and he had a few things in there that would make you cry. It was all from the heart, and it was very genuine, and it was very much Jeff Bagwell.
Phil Garner joining us on The Usual Suspects. Phil, what was he like in the clubhouse? I mean, was he a guy that was kept to himself? Was he a rah-rah? I mean, we're told he wasn't that kind of leader. What was he like in the clubhouse with the rest of the players?
Well, I don't know that he wasn't a funny guy. He was very businesslike. You know, several people asked me to come up with some funny anecdotes from his days as a player, and there are none, and it's because Baggy was very much a businesslike guy. He wasn't so intense that you couldn't enjoy him. As a matter of fact, players revered Jeff. They loved being around him. He's very personable, but he was somewhat quiet, not given to a lot of the brashness that goes on in the clubhouse that a lot of guys do. He was very quiet. He was also a leader that. I think another reason players respected him, particularly younger players, he would take them under their wing. But if something needed to be said to him, maybe they stepped out of line or something and did not do something that sort of in our baseball book is a no-no, Jeff would quietly go to the player and say, "We don't do that here. That's not the way we do things." So he garnered a lot of respect from that. But he wasn't the guy that stood up at the clubhouse and gave a sermon every now and then. It just wasn't his style. But he did lead by example, but he also led by verbal, by speaking with you and letting you know when you had done things well and when you stepped out of line a little bit. So for a manager, he was terrific.
Phil Garner joining us on The Usual Suspects on the HR&P listener line. And Phil, one of the things that I think that I was most pleased with in Jeff's speech, which outside of Houston I think gets overlooked a lot of times, is just how many things he did well. And I think from your perspective it would be great to hear, because of the fact that people don't think about Jeff Bagwell as a great base runner, but he was a great base runner, and he said how much pride he took in making sure that he got that 200 stolen bases on in his career. But a phenomenal fielder until the shoulder went. He could still wing it around the diamond when he had to. But man, his base running, he was a legitimate five-tool type player.
He was. And one of the little known facts that I just found about from his old college coach was he's a three-time All-State soccer player. And, you know, I guess it's a small wonder that he was able to make the transition from third base to first base when we made the trade for him. When we brought him to spring training in 1991, that was my first year coaching. And I don't know this for a fact, but I suspect that some people thought that he had been a double-A player the year before. I suspected a lot of the powers to be, now that I look back on it, probably thought that we'll bring him to spring training, let him get a little taste of what spring is all about, go send him to AAA, and at some point during the year probably call him up. But he had a terrific spring. And somewhere in that spring training, you know, we had Caminiti. We decided that if he's going to make the team, he's going to have to play another position. So let's put him at first base. Well, he learned it. He learned it quite well. And you're quite right. He was a terrific defensive player. He was a great offensive player, but he was a terrific defensive player. And I've said this on numerous occasions, and I continue to say it, that for over a decade, until he really hurt his shoulder badly, he was the best first baseman in baseball. And he changed the way the game was played. He was the first one that was really in your face on a bunt situation. He intimidated pitchers in the National League that, you know, heretofore had just gone to the plate and it was a routine play. We're just going to let him bunt the ball. And if he bunts it hard, maybe we'll get a guy out at second. But if he does a good bunt, we'll just get the out. Well, not with Jeff. You made a good bunt, he'd throw you out at second base. So he changed the way guys had to think about that. They had to get better at, you know, a fake bunt and pull the bat back and try to hit it just to try to keep Jeff honest. But he was quite fearless when he charged the plate, and he did change the way it was the game was managed in that regard. And on top of that, as you alluded to, he was a terrific base runner, a very aggressive base runner. Wasn't blessed with a great deal of speed, but he was quick and extremely smart, and he knew how and when to take the extra base. You know, a lot of times running just for the sake of running because you're aggressive doesn't make any sense, but Jeff made good, solid decisions. It usually turned out right, and you know, to have 202 stolen bases as a first baseman is pretty remarkable over his career.
Coach, why do you think it took so long for him to get in? We were talking, I think this was the seventh time through. I mean, Frank Thomas got in, and those guys had very similar numbers, similar careers. Frank Thomas got in 2014. What took so long with Bagwell?
Well, I don't know. He played in the steroid era, and there were always people that had something to say about that. However, I don't think that's a fair assessment. I have heard people say that, baseball writers say that. That, well, where there's smoke, there's fire. But I think that's grossly unfair to Jeff because he was never mentioned in anything that I'm aware of, any of all these reports that were done in baseball on the PEDs at the time. He was never mentioned into those things. And I never saw, and I was with Jeff early on, and I watched him through his whole career, and I never saw any indication that he would have done anything. So I think if that was the reason, then it's grossly unfair. And if that wasn't the reason, then nobody's given me a good explanation of why he shouldn't have been in the Hall of Fame earlier. And if you noticed in one of those little sound clips that you played, I alluded to that. Finally, they did it. And I'm giving a little slight to the writers there because he should have been in several years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm with you, Coach. We worked out at the same gym for years, and I've been in this city for 23 years, and I saw a guy that not just in the workout facilities at the Dome or anywhere else. He was in gym, public gyms, just working out for hours at a time, lifting weights, doing the things that needed to be done. And like you said, nothing was ever proven. So people need to just kind of take it down a notch on that and realize, as Barry said, the stats with Frank Thomas are on a parallel. For the most part, he should have already been in. But for you to look at two guys that you had the privilege to be around and look at kind of like everybody says, well, thunder and lightning, peanut butter and jelly, however you want to compliment them, Biggio and Bagwell seem to have complimented each other where you said Jeff was kind of the quiet guy, went about his business. Craig was the guy that kind of helped enforce things in the locker room, was more vocal. But it seems like those two just were the perfect Zen matchup for any manager and for any franchise.
Well, I was just looking at some stats. I'm going to be speaking on Saturday night in front of the fans, and you know, to for Jeff Bagwell's special, one of his special nights on this weekend. And, you know, when you take a look at him from 1991 to 2005, take out his rookie season, because that, I don't think that counts necessarily. He's just having his rookie year. Every season after that, from his second season on, the Astros played at 500 ball 1 year, and then beyond 500 ball all those seasons except for one during that next stretch. Well, there's a reason for that, and it wasn't because we had great Houston fans. It was because those two were the leaders and the anchors on the ball club. We had a lot of players to come through here at Houston. The only thing that was similar on that stretch, that 14-year stretch, was Bagwell and Biggio, and both of them were great leaders. I couldn't have been more happy and more proud that Biggio went into the Hall of Fame. And what I, you know, the tendency is for all of us to talk about the two of them together. And I did for a while, and I do that now for a while. But this is Jeff Bagwell's moment on this moment, and I'm going to hail to Jeff Bagwell, because I spent time hailing to Craig Biggio, and this is Jeff's moment, and I'm very happy for it.
All right, Phil Garner joins us on The Usual Suspects. Coach, who's next? Who's the next Astro, do you think, to get this honor?
Well, I know who it's going to be, but I'm not going to say.
You don't want to jinx it or what?
Well, you know, I just think it's unfair to start projecting. And that's what we all like to do.
Sure.
You know, when we get into spring training, we start projecting out to who's going to win, you know, who's in the playoffs. You know, well, for crying out loud, let's enjoy the season and get down to August before we start talking about who's going to get in the playoffs. But the tendency is, we all do this, you know, is to project. Then the tendency is to project beyond that, you know. Well, could this be a dynasty? Then we start looking 10, 15 years down the road, maybe 20 years down the road. Well, is this guy a Hall of Famer or not? Well, I'm pretty sure we got a couple of guys on our team that are going to be Hall of Famers. But let's let them play. And I'm having so much fun watching these guys play. Just let them play and enjoy the moment that we're in.
Coach, you spend a ton of your time as a player and a coach around situations like this. You just mentioned how you love watching this team this year play, but I'd be remiss if I didn't get your feelings on this year's Astros team. The trade deadline, less than an hour and a half away. A lot of teams making moves, but you know, a lot of the thought process is they don't want to mortgage too much of the future because they know what a great roster they have right now. What's your take on where they are, and would you make a move right now before the deadline to get, say, a starting pitcher, or is it better to stand pat because of all the talent and because of the fact that they should be together for quite a while?
Well, my mentor and great friend Chuck Tanner gave me some solid advice my first year of managing. He said, you know, when you start spring training, get some pitching. At the end of spring training, when everybody else is cutting players, add some pitching. About halfway through the season, pick up some more pitchers, and then at the trade line, get some more pitchers, and then you might have enough to get through the season. So I've followed that advice over the years. I've taken it to heart. And so, yes, I would try to get another pitcher. I'd love to have another left-hander in the bullpen or another, you know, big-time starter. Now, yeah, we say all that, but at what price? If you told me I had to give up Bregman and Fisher, might not want to do that, you know, to get a guy that's going to help you out for six more weeks, maybe. So a couple of months, you know, it may get you in the playoffs. However, after you say that, you don't get an opportunity to get to the World Series very often. Just take a look at the Astros franchise history. We've had some terrific teams, great players. We've only been to the World Series one time. So, I think that this is a golden opportunity, and I hope that we can pull something off. But I also know that you have to be practical. You can't give up your entire minor league system to try to get or break up a guy on your big league team to try to get something. And by the way, I had a text just a few minutes ago that we might have made a deal. Have you guys confirmed that?
Yeah. Well, we've confirmed Liriano and, of course, okay, the minor Liriano league signing of Jumbo. But we're waiting on another move to be made, hopefully before 3 o'clock. We heard they're knee-deep in trade discussions with both the Orioles for Britton and the Padres for Hand. Do you have inside information for us?
I wish I did. I do not. But I did get a text that said that it looked like we'd made a trade for Liriano. So I'm happy that we're moving in that direction.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you spending some time. I know it's been a busy and hectic travel schedule for you. So to block out a little time for us, we appreciate it. And again, fans, remember, it is Jeff Bagwell weekend this weekend at Minute Maid Park. And as Coach mentioned, he's going to be speaking as part of the festivities. So make sure you go out and get your tickets and catch all the festivities of Jeff Bagwell weekend here at Minute Maid for your Houston Astros. Thanks so much, Phil, and enjoy your weekend.
You bet, guys.
Phil Garner right there on the Usual Suspects. Good stuff as he was up close and personal with the Jeff Bagwell induction.
By the way, we didn't mention it because it came at the break, but Teoscar Hernandez is the outfielder
right,
included in the Liriano trade. So it's Aoki and Liriano, Aoki and Teoscar Hernandez
right,
for Liriano.
There so you there have you it. Go. And so we'll keep you updated as the trade deadline approaches. Again, 3 o'clock Central Time for the trade deadline. But we've got much more here on the show. And if there's things that you want to talk about, please join us, 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line, or hit us up on Twitter right here on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.